Cryptic Canticles welcomes you to the Dracula Radio Play experience. Sit back, relax, and enjoy this full audio performance of Bram Stoker's masterpiece, released chronologically by entry date.
Mina Murray's Journal. 1 August. I came up here an hour ago with Lucy, and we had a most interesting talk with my old friend and the two others who always come and join him. He is evidently the Sir Oracle of them, and I should think must have been, in his time, a most dictatorial person. He will not admit anything and downfaces everybody. If he can't out-argue them, he bullies them, and then takes their silence for agreement with his views. Lucy was looking sweetly pretty in her white long frock. She has got a beautiful color since she has been here. I noticed that the old men did not lose any time in coming and sitting near her when we sat down. She is so sweet with old people. I think they all fell in love with her on the spot. Even my old man succumbed and did not contradict her, but gave me double share instead. I got him on the subject of the legends, and he went off at once into a sort of sermon. I must try to remember it and put it down.
It be all fool talk, lock, stock, and barrel. That's what it be, and nowt else. These bands and wafts and bogosts and barguests and bogles and all anent them is only fit to set bairns and dizzy women a-beldering. They be nowt but air blebs. They and all grims and signs and warnings be all invented by parsons and ilsome burkbodies and railway touters to skeer and scun our afflins and to get folks to do something that they don't other incline to. It makes me ireful to think of them. Why, it's them that, not content with printing lies in paper and preaching them out of pulpits, does want to be cutting them on the tombstones. Look here all around ye in whate'er ye will. All them stains holding up their heads as well as they can out of their pride is a cant simply tumbling down with the weight of the lies wrote on them. Here lies the body, or sacred to the memory wrote on all of them. And yet, in nigh half of them, there bain't no bodies at all, and the memories of them bain't cared a pitch of snuff about, much less sacred. Lies, all of them. Nothing but lies of one kind or another. My gog, but it'll be a queer scouderment at the Day of Judgment when they come tumbling up in their death sarks, all jooped together and trying to drag their tombstones with them to prove how good they was. Some of them trembling and dithering with their hands that dozened and slippery from lying in the sea that they can't even keep their garp of them.
I could see from the old fellow's self-satisfied air, and the way in which he looked round for the approval of his cronies, that he was showing off, so I put in a word to keep him going. Oh, Mr. Swales, you can't be serious. Surely these tombstones are not all wrong.
Yablins! There may be a poorish few not wrong, saving where they make out the people too good. For there be folk that do think a bamboll be like the sea, if only it be their own. The whole thing be only lies. Now look you here. You come here a stranger, and you see this kirkgarth.
I nodded, for I thought it better to assent, though I did not quite understand his dialect. I knew it had something to do with the church. He went on.
And you can see it, that all these stains be aboon folk that behaved here? Snod and snog?
I assented again.
Then that be just where the lie comes in. Why, there be scores of these laybeds that be tomb as old Dun's Backerbox on Friday night.
He nudged one of his companions, and they all laughed.
And my cog, how could they be otherwise? Look at that one, the aftest abaft the beer bank. Read it.
I went over and read, Edward Spensloch, Master Mariner, murdered by pirates off the coast of Andres, April 1854, age 30. When I came back, Mr. Swales went on.
Who brought him home, I wonder, to hap him here? Murdered off the coast of Andres? And you can sated his body lay under. Why, I could name you a dozen whose bones lie in the Greenland seas above, or where the currents may have drifted them. there be the stains around ye. Ye can, with your young eyes, read the small print of the lies from here. This Braithwaite Lowry, I knew his father, lost in the Lively off Greenland in 20. Or Andrew Woodhouse, drowned in the same seas in 1777. Or John Paxton, drowned off Cape Farewell a year later. Or old John Rawlings, whose grandfather sailed with me, drowned in the Gulf of Finland in 50. Do you think that all these men will have to make a rush to Whitby when the trumpet sounds? I have me anthems about it. I tell ye that when they got here, they'd be jumbling and jostling one another that way that it would be like a fight up on the ice in the old days, when we'd be at one another from daylight to dark, and trying to tie up our cuts by the Aurora Borealis.
This was evidently local pleasantry, for the old man cackled over it, and his cronies joined in with gusto. But surely you are not quite correct, for you start on the assumption that all of the poor people, or their spirits, will have to take their tombstones with them on the Day of Judgment. Do you think that will be really necessary?
Well, what else be they tombstones for? Answer me that, miss.
To please their relatives, I suppose.
To please their relatives, you suppose?
This he said with intense scorn.
How will it pleasure their relatives to know that lies is wrote over them, and that everybody in the place knows that they be lies?
He pointed to a stone at our feet, which had been laid down as a slab, on which the seat was rested, close to the edge of a cliff.
Read the lies on that rough stone.
The letters were upside down to me from where I sat, but Lucy was more opposite to them, so she leant over and read.
Sacred to the memory of George Cannon, who died in the hope of a glorious resurrection on July 29, 1873, falling from the rocks at Kettleness. This tomb was erected by his sorrowing mother to her dearly beloved son. He was the only son of his mother, and she was a widow. Really, Mr. Swales, I don't see anything very funny in that.
She spoke her comment very gravely and somewhat severely.
You don't see art funny? That's because you don't gam the sorrowing mother was a hellcat that hated him because he was a crooked. A regular lamater he was, and he hated her so that he committed suicide in order that she mightn't get an insurance she put on his life. He blew nigh the top of his head off with an old musket that they had for scaring crows with. Twarn't for crows then, for it brought the clicks and the doubts to him. That's the way he fell off the rocks. And as to hopes of a glorious resurrection, I've often heard him say mysel that he hoped he'd go to hell. For his mother was so pious that she'd be sure to go to heaven, and he didn't want to addle where she was. Now isn't that stain at any rate?
He hammered it with his stick as he spoke.
A pack of lies. And won't it make Gabriel keckle when Geordie comes padding up the grease with the tombstain balanced on his hump and asks to be took as evidence?
I did not know what to say, but Lucy turned the conversation as she said, rising up.
Oh, why did you tell us of this? It is my favorite seat, and I cannot leave it. And now I find I must go on sitting over the grave of a suicide.
That won't harm ye, my pretty. And it may make poor Geordie gladsome to have so trim a lass sitting on his lap. That won't hurt ye. Why, I've sat here off and on for nigh 20 years past, and it hasn't done me no harm. Don't ye fash about them as lies under ye, or that doesn't lie there either. It'll be time for you to be getting scart when you see the tombstones I'll run away with, and the place as bare as a stubble field. There's the clock, and I must gang. My service to you, ladies.
And off he hobbled. Lucy and I sat a while, and it was all so beautiful before us that we took hands as we sat, and she told me all over again about Arthur and their coming marriage. That made me just a little hot sick, for I haven't heard from Jonathan for a whole month. the same day. I came up here alone, for I am very sad. There was no letter for me. I hope there cannot be anything the matter with Jonathan. The clock has just struck 9. I see the lights scattered all over the town, sometimes in rows where the streets are, and sometimes singly. They run right up the Esk and die away in the curve of the valley. To my left, the view is cut off by a black line of roof of the old house next to the abbey. The sheep and lambs are bleating in the fields away, behind me, and there is a clatter of donkeys' hooves up the paved road below. The band on the pier is playing a harsh waltz in good time, and further along the quay, there is a Salvation Army meeting in a back street. Neither of the bands hears the other, but up here, I hear and see them both. I wonder where Jonathan is, and if he is thinking of me. I wish he were here.
Log of the Demeter. 1 August. 2 days of fog, and not a sail sighted. I had hoped when in the English Channel to be able to signal for help, or get in somewhere. Not having power to work sails, have to run before wind. Dare not lower, as could not raise them again. We seem to be drifting to some terrible doom. Mate, now more demoralized than either of men. His stronger nature seems to have worked inwardly against himself. Men are beyond fear, working stolidly and patiently, with minds made up to worst. They are Russian, he Romanian.
You have been listening to Bram Stoker's Dracula, the radio play, as presented by the Cryptic Canticles. Stay tuned for our next episode at crypticcanticles.com.